How did Complex manage to ruin a show that was doing a million views per day, bringing in thousands of dollars in ad revenue, popular guest appearances, and a gang of viral moments?
Say again?
You say I'm left out bad and bougie.
What'd you say?
You say I'm left out bad and bougie.
Everyday Struggle was incredible for the dynamic duo between Academics and Joe Budden, alongside their age gap and representing two forms of hip hop that made for a perfect storm.
Let's talk about Uzi. That's 7 years from now.
That's so unfair, man. Like,
why? I'm a fan of longevity. I'm a fan of substance. I'm a fan of staying power. Why is it unfair for me to request people that I'm a fan of stick around a little bit?
Name me.
The show's discussions would spark beef between not only the hosts, but also various artists that appeared on the show, such as Russ, Vic Mensa, and even Nipsey Hussle.
I was on Everyday Struggle. Mm-hmm. And I walked out just because we ain't covering no drama. That's called instigating.
In retrospect, these were the type of moments that helped the show gain its momentum, but it's also what ultimately led to its demise. Something you could have seen coming if you understand who Joe Budden is and his history with burning bridges with all of his business relationships, like Charlamagne Tha God.
I said the Everyday Struggle is going to last 6 months.
Mm. I said two.
And the reason, and it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with self-destructive Joe Budden. Mm. Yeah. Like I just said, Joe Budden is the guy who, when things get good, he fucking puts gas all over the place, lights a cigarette, mm-hmm. and blows the juice.
Now,
at the time of April 2017, when the show first launched, people were excited to see Joe Budden switching his brand from being a 40-year-old rapper who, despite having immense talent in songwriting, was still seemingly actively trying to make it, to transitioning as a talk show slash radio host. It definitely seemed more fitting, as he was also known for having a good radio personality and was even offered to work at Hot 97 in 2004, but he declined it and wanted to focus on continuing his rap career, a decision that would wreak failure in many people's eyes, since this path would only lead him to getting tons of allegations, bad contracts, and numerous amounts of rap beefs throughout his career. Complex knew they had a guy who was already used to the confrontation from both artists, labels, and fans, quite literally.
I'm gonna kill one of you little niggas. I'm sorry for them.
But in return, Joe was given a wise, old-headed perspective that was trustworthy because he was actually really well-versed when it came to hip-hop. And what made it more reliable was, despite his shortcomings, he still had 20 years worth of experience in the industry. He's had hits, or a hit. A cult-like fan base, was signed to the legendary Eminem, and was part of one of the deadliest hip-hop groups of all time, Slaughterhouse. Coupled that with the fact that he even has experience with MTV's Love & Hip Hop, it was a no-brainer to have Joe Budden be a part of a show like this, and ultimately, it's what made Everyday Struggle's 2017 run absolutely legendary. Back then, he was much less mature, much more angry, and just more emotionally volatile in general.
To tell me that as a young man, how old are you?
19.
In this industry, in this music industry, in the music business, mm-hmm. you are happy 24/7. That is a lie. So, that is bullshit, so, and I refuse to have somebody tell me bullshit. I want to have an honest conversation.
So the energy that Joe would bring every day was really up in the air, and fans anticipated watching to see what kind of fit Joe would throw, if any. Speaking of fits, we got to see some of the nastiest pieces of cloth Joe was ever seen publicly wearing. Despite actually being a co-creator, Joe really made the show what it was, and making the decision to add someone who is a direct polar opposite of him was what made a good show even better.
Academic, how you doing?
What up, man? Yo, I'm just here, just going through the motions.
First day at work.
We're in the other chair.
I guess it is the first day at work, right?
Yeah, it is.
When they introduced the rising Jamaican-American YouTuber DJ Academics, till this day, he has stuck with a simple but genius format where he covers various hip-hop news and entertainment topics on social media. He didn't really have that great of a reputation at the time because he had this one series called War in Chirac that really made some people mad about what he was talking about on his platform.
It's your boy, Jackson, check it out. Because you know what, man? It's gotten to the point in the War in Chirac, and believe you me, okay, people have doubted, but I will let you know, in the War in Chirac, season 2 is way more deadly than season 1. Now a lot of people, you probably know.
But for some reason, Complex trusted him enough to give him an opportunity and thought of him as nothing more as just another popular hip-hop blogger at the time. But prior to joining Complex, Academics was already making hundreds of thousands of dollars per month off YouTube AdSense alone. And he actually took a pay cut from Complex because he believed that they would help him get his foot inside the industry.
Let me tell you why I came to Complex. I've been rich for 5+ years. I'm really good. I didn't come to Complex to get the bag. I was getting $100,000 plus a month on YouTube. Complex paid us $10,000 a month. So literally a month of YouTube equaled 10 months of Complex.
Sure, Academics was a popular YouTuber, but he wanted to be more mainstream and needed a mainstream media outlet to do so, like Complex.
It was this elusive industry that I wanted to be a part of. I didn't want to be the YouTube guy. I wanted to be the guy that when you saw him, I was synonymous with hip-hop. And by the way, I do think I accomplished that.
But he complimented Joe's style really well since he was a little more naive and not as experienced as Joe when it came to knowing the ins and outs of the industry as well as being a creator in it. The audience was basically there to see Joe Budden school Academics. It was like an angry dad arguing with his misbehaving son. And honestly, it got pretty intense sometimes.
Ready to entertain or pertain in that type of, if you're not with the shits like that, which clearly you're not, he's not, then shut your little ass the fuck up.
Listen, everything I tell him pertains to that situation.
I'm telling you something. Stay your little ass away from his little ass.
Bro, we were in the green room. Me and him, we like cooling. We talking about everything. Like, we're like literally basically like shirtless, like bumping chests. Like, we're best buddies. We get on camera, and as soon as it starts, Joe's a whole fuck. Yo, I'm looking at this guy.
Oh, you gotta tell us. That guy's a pro.
I'm looking at him like, yo, is his eyes glazed over? And the funny thing is, as soon as the shit is over, he's like, yo, Act, that was a fucking great show.
But much like Joe, Academics had his own thing going for him as well. They both had businesses and their brands to fall back on, which is what gave them more confidence to say things like this.
That is great content, but Emma's always going to provide great content because he's one of the best wordsmiths to ever live. I'm putting that to the side. This is one of the worst songs I've ever heard, and it's given me a real bad taste about some other things. So now let's rewind a little bit here.
Now, that may not seem much to you at first, but after hearing that Eminem dissed the living shit out of Joe Budden for this, you'd probably reconsider. He basically gave him the most ironic double entendre of all time, saying that the last time he had a hit was when he was smacking bitches. Does bro think we forgot about this song? But it was actually a clever line about Joe's relative lack of success outside of his 2003 hit, Pump It Up. And those domestic violence charges Budden received in 2014 after he was alleged to have beaten an ex-girlfriend and stolen her phone while choking her. I mean, I know the charges were dropped in 2016 due to a lack of evidence, but goddamn, you have to get Eminem really mad to say some shit like this. So that's how you know the show was just making so much noise. It was things like this that really made the show take off unexpectedly fast. These guys were willing to put it all out on the table, despite the backlash they received for it.
I don't think ever before in hip-hop there has been a show where they just giving it up like that.
The show got bigger and bigger, and you know that means more bags started coming in. As Complex started incorporating more sponsors and guest appearances to the show, and people began referring to it as one of the greatest hip-hop shows of all time. But since the show was named after a Biggie Smalls song, it's only right to title the video's next segment to Mo Money, Mo Problems, because that's exactly what happened after only 7 months of the show being launched.
I remember like situations that were like, they asked me like, which artist do you have beef with? We don't know what's going on. And it kind of just dawned on me, like, they think that me and Joe, who have been talking shit and saying whatever we want to say in a conference room, right, that they turn into like a video production studio, they can't see the ripple effects.
Yeah, no recourse.
We got our first glimpses of the show starting to fall apart in June 19th, 2017, when Everyday Struggle decided to have Vic Mensa as a guest appearance for an interview about his album, The Autobiography, that no one would listen to. Okay, I'm just kidding. I listened to it, but I was kind of disappointed. Actually, I was really disappointed. That album was fucking true. But not too long after the interview started, it was clear that Vic Mensa had a chip on his shoulder and that he had some tension towards Academics. But what pushed Vic over the edge was when Academics asked about his feelings towards artists profiting off a popular subgenre without understanding its root in violence, which reminds me of the Spider-Man meme, because even till this day, people accuse of Academics doing the exact same thing. And Vic's response showed that he was not only there to promote an album, but also to vent his frustration for Academics' War on Chirac series that I mentioned previously in the video, claiming Academics was one of the main people glorifying the violence.
Felt you were a little bit repulsed by the fact that so many people outside the culture of Chicago, they hyped up the music, not knowing that real lives were being affected, deaths and other type of madness happened within the music, and the music was a real life depiction of that. Like, how did you feel about that?
I wanted to slap you in your face, honestly. And I'm just seeing you here, so I'm like, this is a tame environment, so I would keep it to my words. But I really felt as if people exactly like you sensationalized and made a following off of clowning situations that we go through in real life. And I think niggas ain't had no right. You know, you specifically, like, you ain't never have a right. Like, whatever made you feel like you had a space to have a perspective on our people dying on a daily basis.
He didn't stop there. He went on to claim that academics' violation of recognizing the seriousness of what's going on in Chicago was not only ignorant, but disrespectful.
Chief Keef didn't like me. Dirk didn't like me. I mean, I think they grew to understand that the content was not just negative. Right?
No, it was clowny. It was just negative, man.
No.
Like, come on, boy.
You don't think it was nothing constructive about it?
There was nothing constructive about it. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I really think you're a bitch. Because
in what sense?
Because there's a video that you put up about a person named Trey 57 making all these jokes. Oh, here's another Chirac Savage. Like, this guy is stupid. He messed with the Grim Reaper. Like, nigga, this is not a video game. That's a nigga I grew up with. I've known since I was 5 years old. And to see you come on the internet and, like, with this corny-ass little voice and make jokes about it, like, you know, I was waiting to see you.
The fact of the matter is that this became the very point that Complex realized the consequences of collaborating with academics. Due to all his uploads talking trash behind a keyboard, it may not be very beneficial for the company to associate with someone who burns bridges for artists they would potentially want to make content with in the future. It was like artists were actually willing to appear on the show to simply confront academics about the things he said about them online or people they loved. And in turn, they tried to police academics' content and told them to not create issues with other artists, but that was pretty much impossible, since his page would showcase both the positive and negative things mainstream celebrities go through.
I felt they were neglecting how big my brand was and how I needed to act or communicate because of that, and maybe they were thinking that I could just operate like a Complex employee.
What was shocking to Joe Budden about Vic Mensa's confrontation was the fact that Complex wasn't treating them with enough respect, even though it was their bravery and courageousness that made the show become as popular as it was. They weren't even willing to get them security guards in case chaos erupted.
We tape a week in LA. Vic Mensa pops off with academics. Nobody knew Vic Mensa had a problem with academics. Nobody knew that he was gonna pop off. He came in there and played everything very well. Know what that said? You fucking idiots. Security. Yes, I'm back to that.
Joe's point would further become emphasized as the show continued to grow and the three of them would eventually earn themselves a spot at hosting the BET Awards pre-show, where the three hosts' legacy would be solidified after one of the most infamous altercations happened between them and the Migos.
I move as a collective.
All right, we gotta wrap this up though.
Hey, listen, man, I wish I could talk to the Migos longer, man. It's one of my favorite groups. I've been covering for so long. I'm glad they succeeded, man.
Hey, man, you guys are nominated tonight. Have a good show.
At this point, it was clear they needed more security for the show's host if they wanted them to feel safe about putting it all out there and not worrying about their own safety. But it was just one of the many signs that Joe Budden started picking up when he realized that no one really cared as much as he did about the show's overall progression.
In month one and month two, I noticed that all of that shit was out the fucking window. Nobody really gave a fuck the way that I did.
With academics even confirming that he felt the same on one of his live streams.
Me and Joe walked into that building. They had a whole bunch of people who were doing video. Whole bunch of people who were right. The guy who talked to me who said he had a whole team studying my YouTube channel. This is 2016. I'm covering Drake and Meek Beef in 2015. Covering Drake and Meek. 3 weeks later, him nor anyone he hired was there. They fired everybody. It's like, oh, we're hiring you to study these niggas, but we just hired these niggas. You're obsolete. Fired.
But what really put the nail in the coffin and sealed the deal for Joe Budden to eventually make his exit from Everyday Struggle when him and academics were asked to wear Nike shoes to fulfill their recent sponsorship with them. That's when Joe realized they weren't planning to share any of the profits from the advertisements with the creators of the show.
They come to us and they say Nike has Vapor Max sneakers and we're doing a sponsor integration or some shit. We need you niggas to wear this. My business mind told me I knew better than that. I wore it anyway. That's a check, people. And it's not a small check. It is a rather large check. Complex solicits rather large checks.
Do they share with the creators?
No. Fast forward. Spotify calls them. They want us to talk about a Rap Caviar playlist. They want to insert topics for me to speak about candid under the guise of it being air quotes candid for no money. As the creator of this show, That's a problem.
So put yourself in Joe Budden's shoes as a creator of the show that's doing really successful, bringing them a ton of viewers, sponsors, and guest appearances, then being told that they're not getting paid squat for all of their efforts. The creators of the show have to be incentivized or motivated, or else they'll burn out from feeling underpaid. And while Complex did offer them higher monthly salaries, Joe Budden politely declined and quit the show after only 9 months, as it wasn't the exact amount he was asking for.
I wanted 50 grand. That's what I wanted.
In December.
When my contract was over, I wanted 50 grand a month.
No, not in December? No way.
Yes.
That's not true, Joe.
And they came
Joe,
back.
Joe, this is off the record.
I know, I have emails, I have receipts. It'll never come out because that's not how I do business today. But no.
Academics decided to stay and deny Joe Budden's request to take the show to Revolt, as he believed it wasn't the best decision to get what he initially wanted from Complex. But this is something Academics will never admit he regretted, because it was clear that after this, the show would only continue to plummet in viewership. Academics could not believe that Complex wasn't willing to invest just $10,000 a month more to Joe Budden after seeing how much they struggled every day to find a new host once he left.
You sure, Joe?
Act, you saying, and this be my beef with you. You watched them not pay $300 for a security guard.
I know.
What do you think the difference is?
Because they started to realize, number one, how hard it was to replace you. They went into crisis mode. And I think they had to do so many different things that if it was an additional 10 grand a month, they, I believe, would have paid you.
They started with Star, as he was someone who was actively reporting on mainstream news and pop culture, respectively built up a reputation for himself as a legendary podcaster, and was almost like Joe Budden, except on steroids.
Answer the fucking question.
Hold on. Okay.
You get me? And I just think it's tasteless for
okay.
you to do
that. Are you finished? You finished?
You made reference to them being savages and all other names that during that particular point in time was tasteless.
Hold on.
Hold on. I hear don't sit here now and do this for Fredro. No.
Listen, man. Listen. That shit is not going to last. I'm sorry. I love Star. He's a legend. I love he's the original, like, disrespect king, but...
But many people saw immediately that this wasn't exactly what Complex should have done, and that things were going to hit a wall very fast if they continued this route.
That Complex can't. They're not gonna lose too many relationships fucking with Star.
These statements by Maul would eventually come true. It quickly became clear that Academics and Star weren't compatible, which related to him making an early exit from the show, as well as clips resurfacing of Star saying sexual and inappropriate things about Nadeska prior to joining Complex.
How about that Nadeska on Everyday Struggle, huh? How about that little hot thing? I would love to jerk off on her leg. Just jerk off on her leg. Nadeska. That's a hot bitch. I just want to say that on some reckless shit.
To which fans responded saying that there's no way they would hire someone like this for their show. Star later revealed on his channel that he was asked by Academics and the staff of Everyday Struggle to literally play Joe's part on the show, where he would scream and harass him all episode.
You've already admitted that I came in there because you guys wanted someone to scream at the top of their lungs like Joe Budden. That ain't Star. No disrespect to Joe, but Star lives a great life. You're angry that I simply did not want to fucking play in your sandbox, man. I'm too old to sit there and watch you just spew misinformation.
But on some episodes, you can tell that Star was just taking it way too far, and that Academics was just more annoyed of Star than he even was with Joe Budden. It was clear to Joe Budden that Complex was basically trying to find another him. But while Complex was setting unreachable goals with their new co-hosts,
they said to me, because I asked them, what is the number of views per video that you would like to see that would make this thing work? And they said to me, 500,000. 500,000 views per episode.
Joe Budden was actually the one who was easily doing these type of numbers on his podcast. He was seemingly enjoying the unemployment as things began to skyrocket for his brand. More viewers left Everyday Struggle to go watch Joe Budden. Spotify offered him a partnership deal, and he'd eventually beef with them too, which led to a forest fire in his brand. But nonetheless, he did get the better end of the stick when it was all said and done. As after it didn't work out with Star, they ended up just settling down with a popular Twitter user and Instagrammer, Wayno, for a couple of seasons. And the show was announced that it was coming to an end in November of 2020. But even Academics said that Wayno was good and he respects him for what he did on the show, but it just wasn't what he initially wanted from Complex. And while many fans were upset to see the show end, there could be hope for a lot more collaborative efforts from Academics and Joe Budden, as they have been seen recently doing a lot more content together. However, it's clear that there was something special about the entire complex Everyday Struggle setup that can never be replaced. And we could only wonder what would have happened if they decided to give Joe Budden the $50,000 a month he asked for, stopped worrying about Academics' beefs, and just gave the people what they wanted. Because they clearly have had a rocky road since both of them departed.